Once again, I greet you, brethren, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust that you have a good lunch, and also your week that has gone by has been fruitful, even though you are working from the home or are not able to go out. I trust that you have spend your time fruitfully and wisely. Our last study was on the subject of insincere worship. The children of Israel during Malachi's ministry were dishonoring God's name. Instead of being faithful, they came back from the Lord released them of the Babylonian captivity. And by the time of Malachi is about 100 years. But instead of being faithful, thankful to God for his deliverance and blessing, the people of God, together with the priests, fell into a state of apathy, fell into a state of insolence. They began to feel bitter. They were wondering, after all, they have already done their part, so to speak, to honor God. And it seems that God is not blessing them. They were bitter to God after they came out of the Babylonian captivity, which was actually due to their rebellion and their disobedience. And this afternoon, in chapter 1, verse 12, to chapter 2 verse 3, we read of God's further indictment against the priests of Israel. For what? For dishonoring the name of God. These verses which Brother Jonathan has read for us may be divided into two parts for our understanding and our study. Firstly, it is the first part is the repetition of God's charge against them. And secondly, the announcement of God's curse. Let us consider the first portion, the repetition of God's charges against the priests, particularly against the priests in this context, but it definitely includes the people of God. The priests were charged for profaning God's name. But ye have profaned it in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. The word profane comes from a Hebrew word which means to wound or to step. So the charge is wounding or stepping at God's name or at God. How were the priests profaning God's name? In attitude and action. You see, that is why I mentioned this before, and bear with me, I repeat it again. Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. So it is in attitude and action, the heart, that they have profaned God's name. They were essentially declaring that the table of God, which translated here in our Bible as the altar, they have essentially declaring that the table of the Lord was contemptible. That is to say, something which possessed no value or no appeal. They regarded the altar of God very lowly. By allowing the people to bring, the priest, by allowing the people to bring and accepting blemished, torn, lame, and sick animals to be offered to God, which we read in verse 13, they were effectively proclaiming that they put no value at all on the altar of the Lord, that they regarded it as having no meaning and no purpose. Not only that, next we see also in verse 13 that they were expressing weariness with his name. He said also, verse 13, "Behold, what a weariness it is. It is. And ye have snuffed it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?" The priests were also sinning against the name of God by openly expressing their unhappiness about having to serve. They were bitter as they went about their duties. They were saying, "Oh, what a weariness." To them, the service of God is an irksome duty instead of a joyful delight. The Lord also accuses them of snuffing, or we can use another word, sneering at God's service. The word sneer or snuff comes from a Hebrew word which means to blow away. Now, the picture here is of someone responding with a heavy sigh when mentioned about their work and giving a very dismissive wave of the hand and rolling of the eye. Such an action would say all. The service of the Lord was to them a very burdensome, unhappy thing. They serve grudgingly. After looking at these two verses, we must pause to examine ourselves and ask the question, are we doing the same thing as these priests as we go about our public worship? Do we give the impression or show the attitude that the things of God are exceedingly precious and glorious, of value? Do we hold a high regard to worshiping God? Or do we give the impression that we are engaged in a very unpleasant, burdensome obligation that must be quickly done away with as soon as possible? Do we go about our service to the Lord in such a way that we make it appear to be very unattractive, a very unattractive thing, of no value, of no spiritual significance, and in such a way that we make the things of the world more important and more wonderful? Do we show respect, reverence for the preaching of God's word, not towards the preacher, but towards the word of God? Or do we trivialize it by our inattention, wandering mind, and thus show contempt for the word of God? Is it possible, we ask, for believers to fall into a state of spiritual indifference and contemptuousness? The answer is that it is very plausible. In fact, as we study this book, it is already giving us a proof through the people of Israel in the book of Malachi. And we see this apathy and indifference or even contempt in this country and in many Western countries that once upon a time was the bastion of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now not only have they gone into the state of apathy and indifference, they totally have thrown out the whole of the gospel, the teaching of God, and thrown out God in their life. Therefore, brethren, it is good and necessary for each one of us who profess or confess that we are believers, that from time to time, in the light of God's word, to examine our hearts, to see if we have taken our regular Lord's Day worship casually and carelessly, And whether we come each Sunday perfunctorily or go through the motion just to ease our conscience that, yes, I have been to church to worship the Lord. I leave this question for you to consider at your private devotion. Let us move on to the second part of our text, which is from verses 14 to chapter 2, verse 3. And in this second part, we have the pronouncement of God's curse. And firstly, we want to consider my subheading, the reason for this curse in verse 14. But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male and moweth, and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupting. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. God could not and would not allow the behavior of the priest, whom he has called and appointed to minister to him and to teach the people of God, the word of God, to go unpunished. Why? The reason is this. While the priests were not committed to God's name, God was committed to his own name. Look at verse 14 again. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The word dreadful means fearful. God identifies himself as the Lord of hosts. That is the God of all angels, the God of the whole world. He is the sovereign God. And he affirms that he is a great king, whose name is to be feared among the nation. So for God to ignore the disdainful treatment of his great name would amount to him dishonoring his own name and denying his own greatness. Remember the last time in my sermon, the last week, I asked you the question, if the chief end of man is to glorify God, what is the chief end of God? Answer, to glorify himself. Therefore, God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, whose dominion is from everlasting to everlasting, cannot remain silent, nor to turn a blind eye when his name is defiled, despised, and deceived. Habakkuk 1 verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon or look on iniquity. God cannot do otherwise but to judge the sinners. Beside the reason for the curse, next we want to consider in our subheading the nature of the curse. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. If ye were not here, and if ye were not laid to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. This may well refer to the priests losing their livelihood. It may concern with the people's physical, mental, and material welfare, meaning to say God may withdraw some of this blessing upon them. If the priests give the people the impression that their inferior animals were acceptable for sacrifice, think about it. How long will it be before the people stop bringing those offerings on which the priests had to depend upon for their livelihood, namely their sacrifices and the tithes? Not to forget that the priests were not given of their allocated of their own land. The Lord say they are the Levites are his, and he will provide for their needs. And how did God provide for the livelihood of the priest? Through the offering. They always have the best part of the meat. You see the mercy of the Lord, and yet right now they have done this to the Lord. The second curse is this: the corrupting of their seed. Their flippant attitude towards God and his service would have a detrimental effect on their children. And then you may ask, how? Well, the removal or the rejection of the priest from office will affect the livelihood of the priest and their children. And this, my brethren, is also a warning to parents, to the pastors and leaders of the church, how sin will have an effect on others. How we conduct ourselves in our daily lives, in the family, in the home, at our place of work, or wherever we may be, and how we conduct ourselves in worship, in serving the Lord in the church, will be taken note by our children and those around us, though we may not be conscious of it. But be sure, our children are looking and observing us silently at the sight. Let us therefore set a godly example for them to follow, not only just children here, but also of others, our brethren, that they may follow good example, godly example. The third curse God pronounced was the humiliation and rejection of the priest. Again, it is in verse 3. And will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. The Lord says he will spread refuse on the faces of the priest. It is likened to the disgusting contents of the intestine of the sacrificial animal and pouring it back on them. Symbolically, this means God would cover them with shame and make them a stench. And just as the refuse of animals has to be carried away to be dumped at the dump site, so the Lord will make sure that the priests themselves would be discarded. The priests would be cast out of service. One Bible commentator writes, I quote, "The defiled priest, unfit for the demands of duty, will be carried off and deposited with dung on the city dumping grounds. Thus, they will be utterly disgraced and dishonored." Unquote. Brethren, all this dreadful judgment would come upon them because they would not hear and take heed of the Lord's warning and take them to heart, as we read in verse 2. "If ye will not lay it to heart," and indeed they did not. Sadly, instead of repentance and seeking forgiveness, they persisted in turning a deaf ear to the impending judgment. Verse 8 of chapter 2, in fact, tells us what? "They departed out of the way and have caused many to stumble," which means to say they contributed to the sin of many others. Again, this is a warning to all of us to take note. There are times, and in fact, many times, we may contribute to the sin of others. How? By our influencing them to sin together with us, or we instigate, so to speak. So therefore, let us be careful. Let us take heed, brethren. Sinful behavior can be forgiven if we truly, honestly, sincerely repent and change. But if we refuse to listen and in pride harden our hearts and continue to sin, be sure, we invite disaster and the wrath of God to come upon us. If you are not a Christian, dear friends, this warning is also for you. It is not just for the Christians. Those, if you are granted, those of who are outside of the kingdom of God, who are non-believers, you are granted the opportunity to hear the gospel, which is the good news of salvation from God. After hearing this warning, do not follow the Old Testament priests and the children of Israel to defile, despise, and deceive or disrespect the gospel that God so graciously extends to you. If you do like them, you will be doomed. I urge you to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. I urge you to come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Turn to Him and He will save you from sin, and in humility and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And surrender your life to Him and let Him guide you and lead you in your life. If you sincerely do so, the Lord Jesus will, as He promised, fill your heart with joy and peace, which this world will not be able to afford you. For those who are believers, there is an old saying, leaning into the Word. So we ask, what do your heart tells you about yourself? Are you leaning unto the Word of God, or are you leaning away from it? We surely cannot come away from the colossal failure of the priest of Malachi's day without being thankful to the Lord for His long suffering, for His mercy and compassion towards us. So while there is yet time, while God continues to give us the opportunity to repent, while we are given the chance to hear the gospel, to hear the word of God, while we are given this opportunity, let us seize it. In areas where we have fallen short of God's glory, where we have become cold or lukewarm towards the Lord and towards the Lord's worship, or towards the things of God, towards the word of God, towards prayer, towards all the means of grace, if we have lowly regarded all this, let us repent and turn back to Him. Our Lord Jesus was the faithful high priest who did nothing but set for us the example. How? By honoring the name of God, by doing the will of the Father who sent Him into this world to be the Savior of those of His children. So may the Lord help us to humble ourselves, help us to examine and to check ourselves whether we are sliding into that state of apathy, of indifference, of insolence. May the Lord help us to take heed of His warning. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Father, we give thanks to Thee once again for Thy sacred word, and we pray indeed, Lord, that Thou will help us to take heed. May Thou help us not to treat Your word casually and carelessly. Help us, O Lord, when we come for worship each Lord's Day, and even in our own private devotion and family worship, that we may not treat it lightly, that we may reverentially worship You, that we may worship You from our hearts, in spirit and in truth, as You have shown us in Your Word. Only give us the grace and the strength to do so. And once again, Father, we seek for Thy forgiveness, wherein we have fallen short in our worship towards Thee, for being careless and casual, and treated the Lord's Day worship very frivolously, and that we have not given You our best in serving You in whatever our work that you have called us to. Oh Lord, forgive us, we pray, that we have taken all this for granted. We have taken you for granted, and that we have brought contempt to your name. Pardon us, we pray. Cleanse us once again by thy shed blood. Wash and make us clean before you. And help us, thy people, Lord, in this new week, that we may walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. In whatever job or our employment or the vocation that you have given to us, Lord, help us to do it well, as unto the Lord. And help us to be efficient and to finish it well also, whatever our responsibilities and duties may be, that we may finish it well for thy name's sake. Only give us the grace, the wisdom, and the help we need, the enabling of your Holy Spirit. Help us to persevere. Lord, when we do fall and falter, help us not to be discouraged. For indeed, you have given us the opportunity to turn back to you. For indeed, you say in your word, there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. So help us to come, to repent, and to walk anew with thee. Help us not to give up. Help us to persevere, to endure as soldiers of the cross. Help us not to be deceived by Satan, his lies, and all this temptation, but rather help us, O Lord, to set our eyes upon the Lord Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Hear this, our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.